Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Good morning. It's Funky Friday.
No, it's not.
No.
We've talked about some of the YouTube stars, how they don't have to work anymore, how they make YouTube videos, and when their videos get millions of hits, they make lots and lots of money, and not just from YouTube. They make money from products that people sell, because once you start making videos that millions of people watch, companies that make stuff, they want their stuff in your videos if millions of people are watching them.
Are you familiar with the new disturbing trend, on YouTube? And I see it if you're watching a video on Facebook that's over, I don't know, over 35, 45 seconds. We're all familiar with pre-roll ads. And some have the option to where you just see the first 5 seconds and then you can skip ad. Some of them make you watch the entire 30 seconds. All right? There's a new thing on YouTube, and again on Facebook as well, but not as prominent, where they will have one ad and then sometimes a second ad. And then if you're watching something, let's say you're watching a song on YouTube or on Facebook or something lengthy, it will stop in the middle and say your content will be right back. I'm not down with that.
Hey, they're like everybody else. They're trying to make as much money as they possibly can. But I'm not a fan of that. Well, the reason I'm bringing up this YouTube situation is because we told you at the end of last year, one of the people who has made the most money off of YouTube and others because their videos get watched millions of times, it's like an 8-year-old kid. And I know his parents were helping him, but he never has to work for the rest of his life.
Well, now, wait a minute. We had one a couple of years ago that was a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And he was reviewing something.
Yeah.
Toys. The toy kid. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this kid never has to work.
Right.
He never has to work. All he does is open up a toy and he'll review it. You could barely understand what he's saying, but I guess people watch because they think he's so cute.
Right.
I get
that a lot.
In that same vein, a woman was just arrested the other day because she was arrested and charged with abusing her kids. But you would never have known that because her kids have a YouTube channel which gets a gazillion views. The channel was called Fantastic Adventures. And the mother of the children who are in those YouTube videos on that channel, Fantastic Adventures, was just arrested for abusing her kids and making them live just ridiculously horrible lives. Again, you would never know this if you were just watching their YouTube videos. They look like a happy family. They look like happy kids. The story goes, the adult daughter, who's 19 years old now and has been in a couple of these videos with her younger siblings, she went to the cops and called the cops and said, "You don't understand what my mother is doing here. My mother is starving these kids. They're malnourished. They get beaten. And God forbid they say a line wrong in one of their YouTube videos, you know, she'll go absolutely crazy." Mm-hmm. Well, the cops arrested the mother, and it looks like YouTube has removed the Fantastic Adventures channels. I mean, they were going on getting a billion hits. They were in the hundreds of millions of hits that they got. Over 250 million views the Fantastic Adventures YouTube channel racked up. It was an adorable cast of 7 adopted children. But now, behind the scenes, what I just mentioned was happening. They live in Maricopa, Arizona. That's the Phoenix area. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the adult daughter of the mother here who got arrested, she's the one that called the cops. And when they investigated, Police late last week arrested 48-year-old Michelle Hobson on 2 counts of molestation of a child, 7 counts of child abuse, 5 counts of child neglect, and 5 counts of unlawful imprisonment. And she has 2 other adult sons. They were both arrested as well.
I'm afraid to even ask what they're charged with.
Being a part of this.
Hmm.
They are accused of failing to report the abuse of minors. So she has her own adult children, and then she adopted all of these young children, and evidently she adopted them so they can make YouTube videos and she doesn't have to work.
Right. Well, one, you would think that if they were visibly, if the malnourishment of these kids was visible, you would think that people would be commenting on that on YouTube or reporting it to YouTube or making an attempt to report it to Arizona authorities. And I don't know that any of that didn't happen. It may have been in conjunction with the oldest daughter.
The cops say all the kids were thin. When they gave them some water, they drank water like they drank 3 bottles in a row, like they hadn't had water in a while.
Can you even imagine?
Meanwhile, their YouTube channel had 800,000 subscribers and over 250 million views. They were making money. They were, and this mother and these kids, you know, they wouldn't have had to work because so many people watch their YouTube videos. But come to find out, once you peeled beneath the onion there, you found out it was a house of horrors.
Right.
That's sad. Because most people would, if they knew who they were on YouTube, are probably thinking, boy, these kids, look at this. Oh, look at, they're never going to have to work. You know how much money they're making from making these YouTube videos and so many people watching them? Yet when the cameras weren't rolling, their lives were awful, actually.
Well, I'm sure their lives and their psyches will never be the same. It's going to take, I would imagine, a lot of therapy for them to get through this. How awful for a child. It's supposed to be your wonder years. It's supposed to be joyous and a carefree time. Just to have something that horrible to happen to youngsters of such supple minds.
Well, you know, now that YouTube took that channel down, again, the channel was called The Fantastic Adventures, or just Fantastic Adventures. They should put it up again under that name and just follow the woman as she's going through prison.
Hmm.
See those fantastic adventures. Well, that's something. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
The John Osterlund Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So yesterday, LSU beat Yale in the first round of the NCAA college basketball tournament. And they play again tomorrow. LSU is doing this with an interim head coach. Their head coach, which we have mentioned on the show before, Will Wade, who absolutely turned the program around. He's only been here a couple of years. Turned the program around, got him into the tournament. But he's been suspended by LSU because he was heard on a wiretap by the FBI talking about making an offer, a cash offer, to a recruit. And there are several, at least a few, NCAA coaches who are basketball coaches who are caught up in this. Now, look, with Will Wade, this is the second incident. He had already been asked he's been subpoenaed in a case, and we knew about that, and that's going to happen in April when the college basketball tournament is over. We knew about that, but then it just came to everyone's knowledge about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that he's heard on a phone wiretap, he's recorded talking to a guy, a felon named Christian Dawkins, who is a middleman in this. Dawkins is a guy, like I said, he's already a convicted felon, and I believe he let himself and his phone conversations be wired by the feds so it would he's cooperating now. It would help chop time off his prison sentence. And Dawkins is the guy that Will Wade is talking to, the LSU coach. And Will Wade is heard saying, quote, "Dude, I went to the player with a strong-ass offer about a month ago. Bleeping strong," unquote. And that's flat-out illegal, making offers of cash, paying hopeful players that'll come to your school, paying them money. When other schools, other coaches are making him offers as well. They've got Will Wade. They've got him on tape.
And it's flat out potty mouth. That's uncalled for.
They've got him on tape. And so once that became knowledge, LSU suspended their coach. And many LSU fans were unhappy about that. They said, "We live in a country where we are innocent until proven guilty, not the other way around." Even though it's him on a tape supposedly talking about making an offer to a player, there were still many LSU fans that were not happy that LSU tried getting out ahead of this and suspending Will Wade. Obviously
not LSU civics majors.
No, and the LSU
fans...
It doesn't
work that way.
The LSU fans are unhappy because this team is really good, and they're a number three seed in the NCAA tournament, and this team could go a long way. And so LSU fans weren't happy about this. Now, if LSU had a bad year and they stunk and they didn't make it to the tournament, I'm sure most of the LSU fans that are unhappy right now with the LSU athletic director, Joe Oliva, for doing this, and the hierarchy at LSU for doing this, if the team had a bad season like LSU basketball normally has, I don't think any of these LSU fans would be that upset. They're upset and they want Joe Oliva fired, and they want changes at the hierarchy at LSU because they think that he did Will Wade wrong here, and that Will Wade should still be coaching. There's a big part of the LSU fan base that are supporting Will Wade, and they want Joe Oliva out of here as the athletic director, and not just Joe Oliva, but other people that are in the upper echelon of LSU. After the game yesterday, after they beat Yale yesterday, and even though there's been several upsets already, in the first half of the first round yesterday with lower-ranked teams beating higher-ranked teams, lower-seeded teams beating higher-seeded teams. And it happens every year in the NCAA basketball tournament.
And, of course, I always pick the, three plays 11 or six, whichever one it is, I always pick the wrong one.
Yeah, there's always upsets.
I always pick the wrong one.
But after the game yesterday, after LSU beat Yale, Joe Oliva talked to the networks. He was interviewed, and he said, quote, "I just wish Will Wade would come in and tell the truth. Just tell me what went on. I can handle the truth, even if it's bad." Much like the movie A Few Good Men, although Joe Oliva can handle the truth. Joe Oliva said, quote, "I don't know how deep this goes. That's the problem. And Will Wade has refused to talk to us. That's the hardest part." If you remember, when they first suspended Will Wade, a few days went by, and then Will Wade said, "I will talk to them." And he went on and he said, "I want my job back I want to be coaching in the NCAA tournament while LSU is looking into this." And Will Wade actually showed up on campus to talk to LSU athletic director Joe Oliva and a couple of others. One of the people that was there was a representative from the NCAA. And when Will Wade showed up on campus to talk to Joe Oliva that morning, and he found out that an NCAA rep was going to be in the meeting, Will Wade did a 180 And he turned around and he said, I just wanted to talk to my boss. I just wanted to talk to the LSU people. I didn't want anybody from the NCAA to be there. Look, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious Will Wade is caught on tape trying to pay a player, bribe a player to come play at LSU. And so LSU, to try to get out in front of this and to try to save themselves from a much harsher punishment from the NCAA, because it looks like right now LSU basketball is going to get whacked for next year and the year after, and they're not going to be allowed to play in the NCAA tournament. They're probably going to get whacked in other ways as well. So they just wanted to get out on top of this and save themselves from a harsher punishment from the NCAA. And when Will Wade didn't cooperate when he walked off campus that day because there was someone from the NCAA there, it didn't look good. And so now they've got one of his assistants, an interim head coach, who's coaching. And this probably is going to have a huge effect on LSU. They play Maryland tomorrow. They're a higher seed than Maryland. They should win that to get to the Sweet 16. Although some people are saying without their head coach now, look for Maryland to knock LSU out of the NCAA tournament tomorrow. It's just very interesting how the timing of all of this. Sure, LSU probably could have waited. There are a couple of other schools who have coaches that are implemented in this. I brought up the University of Arizona, who is a powerhouse of an NCAA basketball program, and they let their coach the entire last year, named Sean Miller, and it looks like he's going to be fired and probably arrested very soon. But he did coach right through this, and he coached with everybody knowing that he's on tape bribing a player. But Arizona, I guess because they're more of a basketball powerhouse, they let their coach coach. It's very interesting, and it it stinks for LSU. They finally got a good basketball team. Best team they've had, best season they've had in 10 years. They could go a long way in the tournament, and now they don't have their head coach to do it with. And there's a lot of LSU fans that aren't happy because of that, because they're winning, and they want Joe Oliva fired, and I don't think that's going to happen. So do stay tuned. And it's interesting, they beat Yale yesterday, and Yale has a basketball team, even though they don't give basketball scholarships, or they don't give scholarships for any sports, because they're Ivy League, but LSU was able to beat them yesterday. And some of the Yale fans, the people that went to the game, people like, Spears, pull up the car. We're going to the NCAA basketball game, then we're going to the polo match, and then we're going to lunch. It's all over for them. Coming up on the show, we have more details about that fatal car crash that took out a hair salon and a barber shop in Broadmoor here in New Orleans that was in business for 38 years. People are questioning the cops. Some are saying they shouldn't have chased the people because of the protocol. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So did you, are you a fan of the movie Bill and Ted? The first one was really good. The second one wasn't that good, but Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventures. Keanu Reeves, that was one of his. That might have been the it was one of the first big movies he was in that made him a star. And then there was some other guy he was in a movie with, and we probably never heard of again. Well, it's happening. Bill and Ted, they're making another one. And they're making it here in New Orleans. It's called Bill and Ted Face the Music. And it's probably going to be, hopefully, most excellent. And Keanu Reeves is the star, and Alex Winter is the actor who plays the other guy. But they're making a third Bill and Ted, and it's been long awaited. 1989 was the first Bill and Ted movie that was really funny. Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventure. And then 2 years later, in 1991, they made a follow-up. It was okay, but it wasn't very good. Like most sequels, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. So think about that. It's been 28 years, And they're going to make a third Bill and Ted movie. It'll be wild to see Bill and Ted 28 years later. And you know what's interesting is they're making it here in New Orleans, and New Orleans recently has been called Hollywood South because we so many movies are filmed in and around the New Orleans area, southern Louisiana. And the reason why so many movies are filmed in and around New Orleans is because we give the movie industry, we give them tax breaks to make movies here. And what the fact of the matter is that's how you do business. And we've talked about that before on the show. What happened with Amazon up in New York with the Congresswoman, AOC, how she stood up and said, no, we're not going to give tax incentives, tax breaks for Amazon to build their campus here for 25,000 high-paying jobs for their constituents up there. That would, in turn, give New York City billions of dollars of tax revenue. She didn't want that to happen because she didn't want to give a millionaire, the gazillionaire, the richest man on the planet. She didn't want to give Jeff Bezos $3 billion in tax revenue, tax breaks. She didn't want that to happen. She didn't understand that that's what you have to do to get business. Anyways, another movie, and we do that here in New Orleans with the movie industry. And I hope AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, doesn't say, hey, why are they giving in New Orleans, why are they giving these billionaire Hollywood movie makers, why are they giving them some tax breaks to film movies here? Well, we do that because it gives lots of jobs to people that work around here. And in turn, the people that live here and work here, they pay taxes. The whole deal in New York City with Amazon, they would have made literally $30, $40, $50 billion in tax revenue for giving that business, Amazon, a $3 billion tax credit. But she and people of her ilk didn't understand that. And that's why Amazon pulled out up there. Now you've got the New York officials that are begging Amazon to rethink and reconsider their pulling out, but they're not going to do that. So hopefully, 28 years later, Bill and Ted will still continue to be excellent as they film that here. Coming up on the show, big lawsuit between the two of the biggest beer distributors and beer makers in our country. I'll explain who's suing who and what's going on with that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So there was a New Orleans police chase. The New Orleans police, they saw a car that they thought was stolen. And so they lit it up. They turned its lights on to try to pull the car over. There were two young guys in the car. The young guys didn't stop. And the police chased them for about a mile. The car ended up crashing into a hair salon that has been in business in Broadmoor for 38 years. The car crashes into the hair salon, killing the two drivers, killing the driver and the other person who was in the car. And it also killed a woman who was getting her hair done. Yesterday, when we mentioned on the show, at first they reported that the woman inside died. And then they said, no, she was pulled out of the building. She was still alive. She was fighting for her life. Well, she has since died. And there were several other people that were injured in that. I mean, the car just drove right into the building, and the car exploded. Building caught on fire, and now the building is ruined. And again, this is a hair salon. It was a hair salon for women and a barber for men, and they sold beauty supplies as well. Again, 38 years it's been in business, and a place like that is a pillar in the community. A place like that, a place where you go get your hair cut and your hair done, that's been open for 38 years. It's not there anymore, and that was a place that seemingly so many people in that neighborhood loved that place, and it's just awful. It's a bad story, and now people are looking into. And the New Orleans police are looking into seeing if that police chase was law-abiding or not. Because several years ago, when we, part of the consent decree, the federal government, Department of Justice, came to New Orleans, and they looked at a lot of things. They looked at the jail. They looked at a lot of things. One of the things that they looked into and that they changed was how the New Orleans police officers, how they chase criminals. Because not just here in New Orleans, but all over the country, when it comes to police chasing people, you know, police chasing criminals could get innocent people killed, could get other people killed.
Could, it has.
And it has gotten other people killed. And that's why that they've looked into it and they made some changes. And when it comes to the New Orleans Police Department chasing criminals, the only criminals now that they're legally allowed to chase are criminals that have committed violent felonies. And so this was just a stolen car, not a quote-unquote violent felony, a violent felon. And so now some people are looking into the New Orleans cops saying that these people are dead, the innocent person is dead, and that 38-year-old hair salon, barbershop in Broadmoor is now destroyed, ruined. It's all because of the New Orleans police. And the New Orleans police shouldn't have been chasing those young males who stole a car, which is not a quote-unquote violent felony. It's a felony, but it's not a violent felony. Now, look, I wasn't there. The police chase, all we did was report on it. It was about a mile long. I don't know if the chase was warranted or not. But it kind of sucks that we're now living in a place and a time where police can't do their jobs the way they're supposed to do them. If they see a crime, if they see a criminal, if they see a stolen car, they should go and they should go take care of that. Now they can't do their jobs like they used to do. They should have just, according to many people here, they should have just let this car go. They should have. They heard about a stolen car. They saw the stolen car. When they lit it up, the car didn't pull over. At that point, the New Orleans police just lets it go and let that stolen car go wherever it's supposed, wherever it, these two thieves, these two felons, even though they're young males, you steal a car, you're a felon. It's not a violent felony, not yet at least. It became a violent felony when the car drove into the hair salon that was there for 38 years and the car exploded and burnt the hair salon out of business. Again, three people dead in this, one innocent woman who was getting her hair done, and then the two young males who stole the car. There's no easy answer to this.
No, because when you're talking about minimizing collateral damage, there's no value that you can put on collateral damage when it's human lives, lives of innocent victims. Now, you could say, you could do a reverse crystal ball and say, well, if we hadn't chased them, they may continue on and run over people on Canal Street and kill 10 more people. But you can't look at things that way. I made the point yesterday, and I guess it's more of a question, that when you're talking about a police pursuit, you're trying to apprehend those for something that they've done in the past tense. But doesn't it also figure into it, we've got to stop these two because we don't know what else is likely to occur.
Of course. Who knows?
We don't know if there's going to be gunfire involved. But at some point within a split second, you have to make that determination to either keep pursuing or to stand down. And it involves, police officers are human beings. It's not a new thought. I didn't just come up with that, but they're going to make mistakes.
Who knows?
I don't know if there were mistakes made here, but it's an untenable situation that most of us don't want to make.
Well, now there's an investigation that's going to be starting, looking into this police chase, and they're going to see if they're going to blame the New Orleans cops for chasing these guys, for why one innocent person died, two criminals died, and several others were injured, and a business that was in business for 38 years is no longer in business. Now there are going to be people that look to blame the New Orleans cops for that. And I think that's awful. I don't think it's right. And it's very difficult. Again, this was Wednesday night, about 8 o'clock at night, 8:30 at night here in the city of New Orleans, when the New Orleans cops, they got a report on a stolen car. They saw the stolen car. They lit it up. They turned their lights on. And when they started chasing it, the perps didn't want to get caught, so they sped up, and the chase lasted about a mile. And that ended with the perps driving the stolen car into the hair salon. There's probably going to be more to this story. You're probably going to hear that the New Orleans cops were wrong here. And again, like Brewster said, it's a split second decision. When do you just take your foot off the gas and say we're not chasing these guys anymore? And then if you do that, how many other crimes are these guys going to commit? How many other felonies are these two young guys going to commit? Because they just committed one by stealing a car. It's a sad story all the way around. And New Orleans isn't the only city in America where police are told at this point, stop chasing people if it's not a violent felony, because you could injure or kill other innocent people with that police chase. We'll stay tuned and see what happens with this sad story. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The CEO of Levi's Jeans, he said something yesterday that I can't believe.
All right, let's hear it.
The CEO of Levi's, his name is Chip Berg.
It's a great name, Chip Berg. Mr. Berg.
He said, never put your Levi's in a washing machine. And when he said it, he said, these jeans that you're looking at right now that I'm wearing, they have never been in a washing machine. That's pretty gross, isn't it?
It seems gross, but I've heard that before, that there's some, read on. There's some self-cleaning method or something about denim or about Levi's denim?
Yeah, the jeans he was wearing when he said it were 10 years old, and he said that, he says, you don't wash them. They're just not, it's not good for the jeans. The washing machine is not good for the jeans.
Well, if you want to broaden that out, the washing machine is not good for any clothing.
So,
or you could just stink.
Or I guess wash them by hand. Take soap and take a rag or whatever. Maybe
a rock
or fill up your sink with soapy water and just do it by hand. That's what he said.
Beat your jeans against the sink.
But he's saying if you want your jeans to last longer, I've had jeans. I wash them and then they might get a little faded. They might not, but still, you got to put them in a washing machine, right?
Well, but see, at night he takes them off and just stands them in the corner.
Coming up next on the show, we look at today in history. We call the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
March 22nd, I wish you a happy National Puppy Day. What is not to love about puppies? Everyone loves puppies. Oh, puppies. Puppies. Not poppies. Not like the Wizard of Oz. Puppies! Puppies!
Yeah, and if you have ever met anyone or you know anyone that has a problem with puppies, that doesn't like puppies,
right.
I think that person, I don't think I've ever met anybody like that. That's not a person you'd want in your life.
Right, you should at the very least unfriend them.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine someone that looks at a puppy or looks at puppies and says, I got a problem with that?
That's just un-American.
Yeah.
March 22nd also, they finally have a day in my honor. National Goof Off Day. It could just be called National Brewster Day. National Goof Off Day. My middle name is Goof Off. Brewster Goof Off Brewster.
Cool.
Thanks.
March 22nd.
And it's a segment that we call.
It was today in 1933.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
President Franklin Delano Roosevelt
went on television.
Well, no, he legalized the sale of beer and wine.
A 13-year disaster called Prohibition.
Yeah, Prohibition officially ended today in 1933, and what a horrible idea that was.
For some, it was a noble idea, a noble cause. Just in practice, not really workable. Genie was already out of the bottle, and so was the hooch.
Yeah, Prohibition started because I guess a lot of women weren't happy because their men were drinking.
Well,
their husbands and such.
Carry Nation and the temperance movement and the far right, I guess you could say right-leaning ideology at the time.
You think it was from the right?
I don't know. I mean, I would have to go back and watch Ken Burns' probably weakest entry in his film series, Prohibition. It was not terribly gripping. Although some would say that about Ken Burns' series on the national parks, which I found to be quite striking and inspiring.
I think everything Ken
Burns...
Was
that a question?
I think everything Ken Burns has done has been... really cool.
Yeah, but you wouldn't put Prohibition up there with Ken Burns Baseball or Ken Burns The Civil War.
The Civil War.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Set the bar pretty high with those two.
March 22nd.
I'm not sure if I answered your question or not.
Well, no, I mean, Prohibition was a horrible idea because so many people drank anyways, and cops were getting paid off to let people have speakeasies and drink in different cities all over America.
You asked me if it, I mean, I mentioned, I gave it sort of a right-leaning slant, and you questioned that, but I mean, the temperance movement, largely based in biblical thought, or at least ideology, and I didn't want to go ahead and put the stamp of the Christian right on that, but that had a lot to do with it.
March 22nd. It was today in 1997.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Paul McCartney's birth certificate was sold to a bidder for Beatles memorabilia. Do you have any idea what would a Beatles fan pay something like that? Yeah.
Actual birth certificate?
Paul McCartney's birth certificate.
$50,000.
Close. $84,146.
That's a pretty expensive thing to hang on hang on the wall in your man cave.
But for collectors that are really into certain things, and if they got the money, if you really love the Beatles, wouldn't that be cool if someone comes over to your house and say, look at this. Look at this. I got Paul McCartney's birth certificate right here.
To me, it's not that far of a reach between Paul McCartney's T-shirt that he wore and sweated through while recording, you know, whatever. Today, March 23rd, It was on this date in...
Or is it March 22nd?
I'm sorry. I'm double parked. March 22nd, 2006.
Why today doesn't suck.
Aerosmith had to cancel the remaining dates of their Rockin' the Joint tour due to Steven Tyler needing throat surgery. Again, that was 13 years ago, 2006. From every indication I hear, and people going to see Aerosmith today in or recently in various cities, they say that Steven Tyler's voice is like at the heyday, like at the 1972 level, that he can still hit all the notes. And that's not the case with a lot of rockers his age. I'll tell you another one who hasn't like missed a step as far as performing and hitting the same notes he did 30 years ago is Peter Gabriel. It's unbelievable that he can still, because a lot of these older rockers, they'll tune their songs down a half a step or maybe a whole step.
Sure.
Because they just can't hit the Robert Plant, just can't hit the notes like he used to, and that's totally understandable. It was on this date, March 22nd.
Why today doesn't suck.
You messed me up. March 22nd, 1980.
Why today doesn't suck.
Oh boy, chart news. Pink Floyd reaches number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart for the first and only time. You know which song? Of course you do. Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. That began a four-week run at the top of the charts. On this date, March 22nd, 1975.
Why today doesn't suck.
In more Billboard news, probably everyone's either favorite or first, second, or third favorite Led Zeppelin album. I say Led Zeppelin album.
Led Zeppelin!
Physical Graffiti reaches the top of the Billboard 200 album chart for the first of 6 weeks, giving them their fourth number one album. Of course, all of this certified by the Recording Industry Association of America, or the RIAA. We got a live sound effect.
I just want to go back to the Pink Floyd, the wall being
there
number one.
There is no going back. I've moved on. No, this is a fast-paced show. What?
It's a pretty big deal when rock bands cross over like that and have a number one song on the pop charts, on the Billboard. And that was Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. That was the first time they did that.
But think about this, and we've in a cursory fashion, we've talked about this before. In that particular time frame, with that particular song, every drum beat was adding, where it would just be the snare, they would add in the bass drum, or people call the kick drum, which that drives me nuts. It's the bass drum, not the kick drum. That's just a separate thing. And you got a disco beat.
Kind of beat, yeah.
Pink Floyd, Nick Mason decided to, in a sarcastic way, add a disco beat to Another Brick in the Wall. And so, ironically, people hear that, or young teenagers at that time who may not understand the history of Pink Floyd and the sardonic quality, the sarcastic quality of why that was added, but that fit into that disco time frame in 1980, just towards the end of it. But you agree?
Yeah, you're right. But you don't think of Pink Floyd as a band that you dance to, but around that time, so many rock bands, and you could... I mean, the Rolling Stones, Queen,
sure.
So many rock bands
at
the time, because of that time period, they made their drum beat a little bit different because the disco sound was huge.
That's a shorter way of what I had already said.
Yes.
It was on this date, March 22nd, 1994. We're going to have to look and see if there's video of this or audio or something. Ted Nugent, 1994.
Why today doesn't suck.
Ted Nugent recorded a PSA, a public service announcement warning kids of the dangers of inhaling aerosol spray cans. I've got to find that. I have got to check the vast archives and find that. I'll try to endeavor to do that before the show is over. It was on this date, March 22nd, 1978. In lieu of a large advance for signing with A&M Records, they received 1978.
Why today doesn't suck.
They received a higher royalty rate for signing that they would be the Police. Sad news, it was on this date, I think sad news. Born on this date, actually, a happy heavenly birthday, I think. I think this is the one. We talked about him last week. Born on this date in 1943.
Why today doesn't suck.
Keith Relf the singer for the Yardbirds is the one who accidentally electrocuted himself in the bathtub, right?
Yeah, I think he was either playing the electric guitar in the bathtub or he brought a radio in the bathtub. He was doing something with electronics in the bathtub.
It might have been, it was a little early for, I'm not sure what year he died. I'm going to guess sometime in the early 70s. I guess that would have been too early for Mr. Microphone, so it couldn't be, hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up. Couldn't be like that.
And finally.
Not a minute too soon.
March 22nd. It was today in 1989.
Why today doesn't suck.
After hosting American Bandstand for 33 years, Dick Clark said, I'm no longer going to host American Bandstand. That was a big deal. That was a little bit before our time. But boy, before
I used to watch that on Saturday afternoons.
Yeah, before MTV and before
end.
that was for a lot of people. For 33 years, Dick Clark hosted American Bandstand, and for a lot of people, that was a big deal.
And then he did that salute, and he said, Dick Clark, so long.
Hmm.
And that is a segment that we more or less call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, two of America's biggest brewers, they're battling in a court of law. One is suing the other, and we'll tell you why. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So if you're a fan of Motley Crue, tomorrow night, I know that I'm gonna be watching their new movie, The Dirt, along with others here, the Bayou Crew, over at Vintage Rock Club. And have you been there? Have you heard about this place yet? Vintage Rock Club. It's on Poydras Street. It's above Walk-Ons, on Poydras Street. The coolest thing about it is that it's a rock club. As we sit here in the year 2019, how many bars, how many clubs can you go into? Clubs. This is a nice place. How many clubs can you go into with couches and things that play rock music? Not very many. And this place rules. And tomorrow night we're gonna go there and we're gonna watch the Dirt. That's the new Motley Crue biopic, the movie about Motley Crue. By the way, that was filmed all around New Orleans. And it's going to be on Netflix tonight, but if you want to wait till tomorrow night, it's free. It doesn't cost nothing. Come hang out with us at Vintage Rock Club above Walk-Ons on Poydras Street to go hang out in a really cool new rock club and to see the Motley Crue biopic, The Dirt. It's going to be some good stuff. You got to be 21 or over. Doors are at 6:30, and the movie starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we'll see you there and go check out a new rock club and see that movie. It's gonna be a good time. That's tomorrow night with Bayou 95.7. Coming up next, have you done the Florida Man Google Challenge yet? I've done it a couple of times. It's pretty fun.
I see. This is gonna be good. I have not done it.
Let's do it next.
Okay.
Here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So if you pay attention to the news, you probably notice that many, many, many of the craziest stories, the craziest news stories, the craziest headlines that you hear come out of the state of Florida.
And frequently, I've noticed that the segment that we do every Friday at about 8:35...
Coming up in an hour.
The dumbest things we read all week, a overwhelming majority of those, they may not get on the air, but a lot of those happen in Florida.
And
Florida is just a teeming cesspool of just weirdness.
And I can already tell you, that the dumbest thing I read this week, which we will do in an hour, 1 hour from now,
right.
It comes from Florida. I can already tell you that. I don't want to spoil anything, but there like you said, it usually does.
There you go.
And why is it? I mean, it's a very large state. It's a warm state. They got great weather. And I've always said that a lot of America's misfits end up down there. Hell, I lived there for 5 years. I owned a bar and a restaurant in Miami. It's just a place where I think people kind of just end up. And
you've heard of Burnt Ends? His place was called Burning Ends.
That building is still standing, Brewster. Someone drove by it the other day and took a picture of it for me.
I'm sorry. Insurance fire. Insurance fire.
The building is fine.
The thing about Florida, I mean, it's much like California in a way, in that it is so completely diverse in little pockets, right? You get the Panhandle, which is completely like its own thing. You've got Miami, like you mentioned, where you live,
which is like Latin America,
right? Which you couldn't compare to Jacksonville,
no,
or Daytona, uh-huh, or anything like that. The knocks, I think the main knock is not necessarily knock, but the main thing that Florida gets mentioned with or in is the joke that that's where all the Jewish people that retire from New York City go to. They retire in Florida. I mean, that's just it's a tried and true comedy principle that there are lots of retirees, both of the Jewish faith and not, in Florida.
Well, but
to answer your question as to why there's just these just bizarre things that seemingly don't happen anywhere else, I don't know.
And I'll stand to what I've always said. I just think it's because of the weather. You got people that haven't been able to make it in their own states for whatever reason, or having tough times in life, tough times in business, whatever. You know what? I don't got much. Let me go down to Florida, see what happens there. and that's why, in my opinion.
All right.
So you might have seen over the past week on social media, do the Florida Man Challenge on Google. And it's pretty funny. What you do is you go to Google and you type in Florida Man, and then you type in your date of birth.
All right.
And I've done it a couple of times. Different things have come up, and it's every time it's funny.
So you've done it and I haven't. So I'm guessing this is some sort of a search with Boolean characters, and it's going to be something that happened on that day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me do it before you do.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and do one here.
Florida man, and I just had my birthday. Florida man, March 10th. That's all you put in.
You don't need to put year.
No, just Florida man and your date of birth.
You may not get anything if you put year.
So I just typed in Google Florida man, March 10th. Enter and
okay. Read the first one. I think. Are you supposed to keep it true to reading the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's mine.
All right.
Florida man attacked by a crazy squirrel gone nuts, and it was raised by a neighbor.
Now let's dissect this. First, let's check the domain name. Are we talking about
Miami Herald?
Okay, thatrag.com.
One day ago.
Okay.
This was yesterday.
All right.
Florida man attacked by a crazy squirrel gone nuts, and it was raised by a neighbor. That's what I got.
Right. Oh, well, I could actually do the first two, but I'll stay true to the premise here, and I'll do the first one. This is from we've got a great mugshot here at WTXL in Tallahassee. This just happened on my birthday. It has an update, though, from yesterday. All right, Florida man arrested after hitting girlfriend in face with burrito. Now, violence against women is never funny.
Right.
It's never appropriate, but in Newport Richey, law enforcement arrested a Florida man after hitting his girlfriend in the face with a burrito, and the jerk's name is Peter Michael Elacqua, 41. A deputy found the woman with the contents of the burrito spread across her face, neck, and shoulder area. I'll have to send you this. He has in his mugshot a look on his face that it's like, he's saying, huh? He's not even putting the words or a complete sentence together. It's just, huh? It's like Eddie Price. Hey, you know, you ran through the gate back there.
Huh?
Should we do it? Let me do the next one here since I've got
Yeah, do another one.
All right. February 13th. All right. From Newsweek.com, thatrag.com. Florida man throws toilet through school board building window in Illinois, or as we say in Indiana, Illinois, is arrested sitting on another. A Florida man arrested in Illinois February 15th after he allegedly threw an old toilet at a Board of Education building in East St. Louis. We talked about them earlier this week.
Yes.
36-year-old Dave Tolliver, accused of carrying an old toilet to the government building and then throwing it through the front glass of the building, according to the East St. Louis Police Department. He ran away after throwing the toilet, officers say. He was, let's see, details we don't care about. His mugshot is, yeah, that's the classic, what do you want from me? Let's see, do we have his name here? It doesn't really matter. 36-year-old, I said that, Dave Tolliver. Oh, here's a good one. Meanwhile, another Florida man was busted with 68 pounds of cocaine while driving on Interstate 40 in Henderson County, Tennessee. That counts because it is a Florida man. 53-year-old Camilo Gonzalez reportedly showed several signs of deception and stress, promoting troopers to ask to search his vehicle. They found 31 keys.
How about that?
68 pounds of snow in his vehicle.
I like this.
We just literally read out off the internet. I like this.
This is a good challenge.
Not much work.
Yeah, next time you got a minute or two, just type it. I'll do it one more time in Google.
All right.
Florida man. My birthday, March 10th. Florida man finds World War II grenade, tosses it in the trunk, brings it to a Taco Bell. I think we might have covered that story when it happened.
I think so.
On
the
show.
All right, what's the website?
This was the Miami Herald again.
.com.
Yep. A Taco Bell in Florida was forced to evacuate after a man visited the restaurant with a World War II hand grenade he found while fishing. This happened in Ocala, Florida, and this is endless. This could last all day.
Yes.
I mean, if you just type in Florida man, and it's just another one of those new fun things. If you've got a few extra minutes on your time and you want to chuckle, well, try it. We recommend.
I guess what we should do is just not get too far into the minutia of the story, but just trade headlines like this one: Florida man saves dog, fends off aggressive coyote attack with coffee cup. This is almost like you're just putting words into a generator that comes up with a news headline, and it just happens to say Florida man. But these are all true. I mean, this is coming from the mysuncoast.com, which is the ABC affiliate in that area of Florida. So there you go. Florida man.
It doesn't end. I have fun with that. Coming up, I got to get to this lawsuit. Two of the biggest beer companies in America, the brewers, they are one suing the other. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So two of the biggest beer makers in America, they are having a legal, litigious battle right now. And it's all because it goes back to the Super Bowl ads. Bud Light called out Miller Coors products. And Bud Light is owned by Anheuser-Busch. So Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light, and commercials called out Miller Coors products. It was in a Super Bowl commercial. And what they said was that Coors Light uses corn syrup. Bud Light, we don't. And Bud Light, 100% less corn syrup than Coors Light. And they've been running those commercials.
Dilly dilly.
And Miller Coors isn't happy about that. And so they are now suing Anheuser-Busch in a court of law, saying it's not fair what they're saying in their advertisers, because pretty much most beers use corn syrup. So they don't think it's fair. And Bud Light says, wait a minute here. Anheuser-Busch says, you can't sue us for just speaking the truth. And that's all they're doing. And, you know, Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch is doing this because Miller Coors, when they advertise Miller Light, they say Miller Light has half the carbs as Bud Light. So if you're drinking a light beer, why wouldn't you drink one with half the carbs? So now Anheuser-Busch is thinking, well, we've got to come back. Our Bud Light has to come back and say something about Miller Coors products, Miller Lite, Coors Lite. Okay, they use corn syrup to make their beer in their beer, and we don't. So that was their big advertising campaign. And again, that commercial ran during the Super Bowl, and there's billboards up. They put them up right in the heart of Coors County, Coors Country, out there in Colorado.
Sure.
It says, you know, this stuff uses corn syrup. Bud Light,
this awful
no corn syrup.
This awful swill. How dare you have that? Well, thinking about having this in your mouth. The thing that I found clumsy about the whole thing is, I think that's all played. I think we've just about milked that for as much as we can. And I think the agency that did that for Bud Light. I did them a bit of a disservice by moving those characters, the Dilly Dilly characters, into this the message about corn syrup, because now you have the king riding around to the different breweries, or however, I forget how they set it up. It was just clumsy to come out with that new message. I think they needed a new campaign.
Well, Miller Coors is
my
saying,
opinion.
Miller Coors is saying, look. The corn syrup that we use is really used as a fermentation, which is the irony of all ironies, is that it's not actually in the final product that you drink. That's what they're saying. I don't know what a judge or a jury, I don't know what they're going to say, but these are two of the biggest beer makers in the country just going at each other. That's what they're doing.
You and I were at Hooters for 2 hours in Slidell yesterday. Did we talk about any of this? Did any of this come up?
No, but the beer tasted great.
Exactly. You know, if the beer was cold or whatever, you had one, I had another one. It doesn't matter what products we had. Guys don't care about this stuff.
No, they're suing.
I don't care about it.
They're going to court about corn syrup and beer.
No, it's as long as there's not a fly in mine, I'm pretty much okay.
Coming up next, a government worker got in trouble for doing something so despicable. I can't believe he kept this job. Wait till you hear what this guy did. And wait till you hear what the punishment was. You're not going to believe it. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Social media has changed things in our country a lot. I'm going to explain in 1 second, but before I do, I just put up something very entertaining on the Bayou Facebook page. Be a part of our radio station here at Bayou 95.7 on Facebook, and go see what the stuff we put up there. We just try to put up stuff that you'll like.
Yes, we understand Facebook. Go ahead. What you got?
Well, no, I wanted to bring up how social media has changed things in this country. Do you realize...
Well, wait a minute, but you stopped and you said, I've just put this up on Facebook. You didn't tell us what it was.
No, because I want you...
You're going to use that as the example.
Well, No. I just put something very
Bayou
entertaining.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Yeah. You want to say what about what?
I said, be a part of our radio station on Facebook.
No. You said social media has changed the world. I can tell you word for word what you said. Not to be confrontational, but this is impossible to follow. You said social media has changed things in our world. Wait. I just put something on the Bayou Facebook page.
Yeah.
But you didn't tell us what it was.
No, because if you're listening,
I want you to use that as the example?
No. I just want you to go see something very entertaining that we just put up on the Bayou Facebook page.
You're throwing a curveball because normally you say a summation or a summary of what it is that we're supposed to go check out. Am I wrong?
I'll
Bayou 95 points.
I'll just say this.
Okay.
There are the thing that I just put up on the Bayou Facebook page.
Is it the cat playing the keyboard? I love that.
Nope.
No.
People are testing a store's policy. A store has a policy about something.
So this is a tease on steroids. This is a hyper tease.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got you.
I just wanted to mention that, and then I wanted to explain how social media is changing this country.
Sadly, we're out of time. Bayou. 95.
Coming up. No. Here's what I mean. Look, social media, it's very cool in some ways, but it's incredibly uncool in other ways. Look, we all know how it's cool, social media. We can connect with friends. We meet new friends. Everybody has a voice. Everybody can say whatever they want. And that is leading to the uncoolness of social media. How every day there seems to be an outrage about something. Somebody has to be outraged about something every day, and things get so blown out of proportion. I blame social media for that, Brewster. Now, look, you could go back last year with the hashtag MeToo and the hashtag Time's Up, with some men treating some women horribly. Any guy that treats a woman horribly or whips it out or does anything like that or sexually abuses or sexually assaults someone, they're horrible people, and they should get every bad thing that's coming to them. But at the same time, I think it's because of social media why things change so much and our country has gotten so much more politically correct than it was before social media, because you could actually see it. You could see people when something happens. I've always said, before social media, if there was something on television that you didn't like, if there was something on radio you didn't like, all you would do would just not watch that show on television anymore. You would not listen to that person or that show on the radio anymore. But that's not good enough with social media now. And now if people don't like something, they don't only want that off the air. They want to go after the people, the advertisers. They want to put that completely out of business. And I blame social media because of that.
There's no question, maybe stated a little bit differently, that social media has been the accelerant, has been the gasoline for that.
Absolutely.
In that scenario that you describe, where this is a black and white world, okay, we're going back to black and white, because this is what you described is how I think of this. Someone is watching a show, and it's like, I don't care for that, I'm going to turn that off. And they just wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't consider not using Tide to wash their clothes, the sponsor of that program. It wouldn't affect them that much. Okay? So let's say they're really offended. They're going to turn the TV off, not watch that show ever again, and maybe write a letter to their newspaper. Okay, then maybe they write. Maybe it is Tide, and they write a letter to Procter & Gamble, and they say, "Okay, I'm offended that you're a sponsor of this program." And then they may tell people, depending on how much more offended they are. But generally, everything I just described wouldn't happen, right? Because it's too much effort. We always say that when someone calls up and says, "Well, I love the show." You have to take that with a grain of salt, because more people are going to call up and say, I hate the show.
Sure.
So you have to take that on balance, because more people complain than they do. More people throw hand grenades than they do roses. I don't know, whatever your analogy is. So, but there's no question that social media just literally, what's the thing where you would stand with those the bellows? Social media is the bellows that just nonstop keeps sucking in air and then pushing air onto that fire of what you're describing.
Because of social media, if someone sees something on television they don't like, if someone hears something on the radio they don't like, it only takes them 1 minute, Brewster, on their cell phone, on their laptop at home. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Twitter. I'm going to start a hashtag, and I want these people off the air. I'm going to go to Facebook. I'm going to start a group, and I want these people off the air. And then all of a sudden, the hierarchies at these companies that own the television stations, that own the radio stations. All of a sudden, now it's staring. It's they're staring right at it, and they see that a bunch of people just sitting on their couches. It took them 30 seconds to just click a button, and now all of a sudden it looks like some sort of a groundswell.
Exactly.
And that these companies have to do something about
and
it.
And that's a tremendous point that you made based on what I said, because everything I went through, I purposefully made it sound lengthy because you're going to do this, and you got to stop and write a
letter.
And
nobody would take the time to do that before.
You got to get a stamp, and I don't have stamps. Yeah. Stamp on an envelope and Merkle Press, New York, New York. I don't have time for it. But with social media, you have done all of those instantaneously with one click. You have alerted the sponsor. You have alerted the network. You have alerted the producers of the show. And you have alerted countless others around the world of your opinion. And that is the most scary scenario I could possibly think of.
It's not a very American. Where we do have the freedom of speech. And I think that's probably the biggest negative about social media. I think it's the biggest negative how now it forces people, it forces companies, they have to do something where before they never had to do anything because they would just say, look, if you don't like it, don't watch it or don't listen to it. But now, because of social media, I've said this 100 times. Doing a radio show a few years ago was so much easier than it is now. Half the time, I would never even think about half the stuff. Well, if somebody doesn't like it, they just won't listen. That was it. But now if I'm about to say something that I know probably is going to, it might make some people laugh, but it's going to make other people maybe not so happy.
Have a larger, longer lasting effect.
Exactly.
Right.
And back in the day, it was just, well, hey, I just won't listen. Because that's how I am. If there's something on the television or radio that I don't like, I just won't watch it or I won't listen to it. But I'm not going to try to go after their advertisers. And I'm not going to go after their bosses and try to get these people fired. It's just something that I won't listen to or I won't watch. This is America. We used to have something called the First Amendment. We still do. But boy, freedom of speech isn't what it used to be.
Well, and in a world where you have instantaneous, you can make instantaneous feedback about that, whether it's a particular show and you alert the sponsor, the network, the producers, the actors, whatever. The danger with that we see on with urban legends being spread around. I just saw another one yesterday. It was that. You and I talked about it a little bit off the air. It's going around now that law enforcement officials warn you to wipe off the handles that they used a particular big box store. I'm not going to name it. It doesn't matter. Just wipe off the handles when you go get your buggy. Not because of germs, but because of the possibility of getting fentanyl or car fentanyl on your skin. That's largely been debunked. We've talked about it on the show. The case in Ohio where law enforcement officials were said to have become violently ill and near death because of that. It turns out that is not through it's not through contact with your skin of these substances. Number one, because they have spent years and years and years trying to come up with a transdermal patch for these things because it is so hard to have things go through your skin. But the point is, someone posts it, someone else likes it. Your grandmother sees it, your aunt sees it. They don't do a lot of research. They just spread it around, and pretty soon it's
gospel. They
think it's the truth.
That's the other big problem with social media.
Yeah.
Spreading of all of this phony, fake stuff that. Sure, some people know that it's fake and it's not true, but other people, they'll just keep spreading it, liking it, and that's the other problem with it.
Yes.
So even though social media, there's a bunch of cool things about it, the negatives about it are pretty damn negative, too.
Yes.
And it's not very American, as far as I'm concerned. And with all of that said, be a part of our radio station and Facebook and go see what I just put up there. It is a bunch of people, they are testing the policy of a certain store. And I thought it was very entertaining. Coming up, I got to get to this story about this government worker who just got in trouble for doing something so horrible. I can't believe he didn't get fired. Wait till you hear this coming up.
And the dumbest things we read all week.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. This is incredible. A horrible story happened recently. A young woman named Valerie Reyes was killed by a man. And her body was put in a suitcase, and it was left on the side of the road. She's from New York. They drove up to Connecticut, and they left it on the side. The killer left her body in a suitcase on the side of the road in Greenwich, Connecticut. Well, a guy who worked for the town of Greenwich, his name's James Clifford. What he did, he's the one who found the suitcase. He then not only opened it up, saw the dead girl's body, he took pictures of it, and then he shared it with people. Now, that's awful, right? You know what his punishment is? And again, he works for the town of Greenwich, Connecticut. He will be demoted from his position as foreman of the Department of Public Works for 6 months. He will be suspended without pay for 5 days, and he will lose 5 vacation days. But that's it. After 6 months, he'll get his position back.
All right. The only thing missing in this story is what he did after having taken those pictures.
He shared them.
Okay. Hang on. The only thing that is missing is what he did after he... Here's what... I don't want to get too graphic, but what happened? Did he just close the suitcase and leave? Did he alert authorities?
Oh, no, he alerted authorities.
Okay.
But he took pictures of the girl's body in the suitcase and then went online and I guess shared them with friends or people or whatever the case may be. Can you believe this?
Yeah, it's just, number one, who wants to see this? I'm struggling here because I just wonder if there's an actual... I just wonder if he has actually broken... It's the crime here is bad taste.
Absolutely.
But you can't... We don't have laws on the books. There's no justice for bad taste.
But don't you think he should have gotten fired from his job for doing that?
Probably, yeah. Probably. It's bad. Puts the city of Greenwich, their public works department, in not the best light.
He only got demoted from his position as foreman of the Department of Public Works for 6 months. He got suspended without pay for 5 days, and he's going to lose 5 vacation days. Talk about a slap on the wrist for doing something absolutely horrible.
Right.
And the young girl's name, again, Valerie Reyes. She was 24 years old. And, you find something like that, the last thing you do is take pictures and then go and send them out to people you know on the internet or social media or wherever. And talk about a slap on the wrist. I mean, I guess some government employees, Brewster, they got to really do a lot to lose their jobs. That's incredible.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, we will tell you the dumbest things we read all week. Stick around on Bayou 95.7.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Well, it's Friday. It's a little bit later than 8:35, a little bit late this morning. But this is where we tell you the dumbest things we read all week.
All right, what do we got here? I've got one runner-up.
I've got one runner-up, too. You want me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay, here's one of the runners-up.
Florida?
No.
Not
yet.
Okay.
Mother runs over drunk son who wouldn't get off of the driveway.
I think we've all been there.
A woman ran over her drunk son with her car, is in jail. 58-year-old Cynthia Grund said she rolled over her 37-year-old son because he was lying down in the driveway and asked her, quote, "Why don't you just run me over?" unquote.
That's a fair question.
This happened in Olmsted County, Minnesota. Quote, "He didn't believe I would," she told the deputies. "He has been drinking all day. We gave him a chance." And this happened on Monday about 5 in the afternoon. The mother just had it with her grown 37-year-old drunken son.
Now, you're not going to tell us that something... I mean, is he okay?
Yeah, he's got injuries, right. But he's going to live.
All right. Because I was afraid this was going to have like an ugly turn. Like maybe he had succumbed to his injuries.
No, he's got injuries, but look.
He'll be all right.
Look, who knows best? The mother knows best.
Yes.
And if her grown 37-year-old son is a drunk who lays down in the driveway and the mother feels like running over him, in my opinion, that's the mother's prerogative.
6 months of recuperation time, and he'll be back in the basement. Good as new.
So that's my runner-up.
All right, runner-up number two. Let's see, what do we got here? Teen steals New York City taxi cab for road trip to Six Flags. Doesn't realize park is still closed for winter.
Ouch.
Dateline. Rochelle Park, New Jersey, in beautiful, beautiful Bergen County. Makes me hungry just standing in it. A New York City teenager who allegedly stole a taxi and tried to drive to Six Flags on Tuesday had his fun spoiled when police arrested him in nearby New Jersey. Even if he had made it to the park, he likely would have been disappointed. It's not open for the season until April 6th. Rochelle Park, New Jersey police received a tip from NYPD early Tuesday morning of a possible stolen taxi cab that had made its way to the area of Essex Street in New Jersey, I guess in Rochelle Park, tracked down by a GPS device. An officer responded to the area. This gets even better. An officer responded to the area and found the yellow cab, ironically, along with a man sleeping in the back seat. Police say 19-year-old Jonathan Gualpa of New York had stolen the running cab and driven it across state lines to go to Six Flags Great Adventures. But the theft combined with the drive had apparently tired him out. The young man pulled over and went to sleep and took a nap in the back seat. He was charged with receiving stolen property and released pending a hearing. The taxi has been returned safe and sound to the cab company, and his mugshot, he's just an angry young man. He doesn't have a look like he's saying anything. He's just angry young man in mugshot.
And Brewster, how I like to say we try to learn something new on the show all the time?
Yes.
In that story, if you need to steal a car, especially a taxi cab, mm-hmm. to go to some place, make sure the place is open.
Just makes good sense.
All right. Here is the dumbest thing I read all week. Twin brothers arrested for throwing bricks at each other.
I was calling for front for my bags. Front!
Two twin brothers got arrested. 52-year-old twins Michael and James Remilius were arrested for throwing bricks at each other in their home in Orange City, Florida.
Of course. I wonder whose birthday that took place on.
All we know is that the cops were called and they showed up and there were two twins. They both had bumps on their head. They asked them what happened. And
right.
They each said we threw a brick at each other.
Right.
And I've got their mugshots and I've got that story at Bayou957.com. And I'll get it up on our radio station's Facebook page soon.
There you go.
Man, how would you like to be the parents of these two?
Mm.
And you can see in the mugshots where the bricks hit them.
Okay, then. All right.
So twin brothers arrested for throwing bricks at each other is the dumbest thing that I read all week. And there's really not much more to that story. I mean, do we need more?
I see that.
Do we need more?
No. You don't even need to say it again to recap it. We don't need a recap.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Here's another one, and she is very, very pretty. Teacher sent student nude photos and a video on how to pleasure oneself on Snapchat. This happened in Texas.
I think it's pronounced Florida.
No, Texas.
This is Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A teacher in Texas sent a video of herself pleasuring herself to a 15-year-old student on Snapchat. 25-year-old Kelsey Rochelle Kepke of Katy, Texas, was fired from her job teaching at Paytow High School after she was accused of sending sexually explicit videos and photos of herself after connecting with the teenager.
I'm sorry. What's her middle name?
Rochelle. Rochelle. This is a teacher's journey from the classroom to the prison cell.
From Florida to Texas.
Mm. And I'm looking at her. She's very, very, very pretty.
What's her last name?
Kepke. That's K-O-E-P-K-E. Kelsey Rochelle Kepke. And again, these are stories that we just talk about on the show, and Brewster and I always have the conversation. He's under the influence that this has...
That's it. Stop right there. I'm just under the influence. That's fine.
That this has always that's been fine. Happening, and we're just learning more about it now because of the internet, but
I'm right. Most right-thinking people agree with me.
But Brewster, this is just... gorgeous mugshot after mugshot after mugshot after mugshot after mugshot of very attractive female teachers who are getting arrested for either doing sex with their male students or things like this, sending pictures of themselves or videos of themselves pleasuring themselves on Snapchat to their students.
Prior to the explosion of the internet and social media, did you peruse post offices looking for most wanted? And you can go there and see mugshots. You can go to police stations and see mugshots.
If I knew that these were the mugshots, such pretty women in their 20s mostly, I would be hanging out at post offices more often before the internet.
That's my point. They would have been there. Nothing has changed. It's just you're seeing it in more of an instantaneous fashion.
This just not, it does not seem to end. Wow.
I can't find her picture.
I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So if you do a lot of shopping through Amazon or any store that delivers that will deliver your products, if you've ever gotten the wrong thing or something similar to what you ordered but it wasn't, And you kept it, could you get in trouble? Because I've got a story here about someone that did.
Well, as you know, the answer to the first question is yes. Mrs. Brewster and I buy lots of stuff. We're Amazon Prime members. Love it. But go ahead. We'll see. I want to hear this scenario. I'm titillated.
This guy in Massachusetts named Nick Memo, he bought a 74-inch flat-screen TV on Amazon.
Okay.
The package comes to his house. It's not a 74-inch flat-screen TV.
It's a 1,000-inch.
It's an 86-inch flat-screen TV.
Okay.
So he looked at it. He said, geez, this looks a little bigger, but it's the same brand, whatever the case may be. So he ended up unpacking it, hooking it up, mounting it on his wall. There you go. Well, a few days go by.
Amazon comes looking in his window.
Not Amazon. No. Uniformed police. They came knocking, and they arrested him. 35-year-old Nick Memo from Freetown, Massachusetts, was arrested this week for keeping an 86-inch flat-screen TV that Amazon mailed to his home by mistake.
Was it addressed to him?
Yes. It was their mistake. So evidently somebody called somebody and said, and they put they put everything together and they're like,
Well, who called who? I mean, what do you mean somebody called somebody? The recompense here would be for Amazon to realize their mistake and let him know, dude, your credit card is going to be charged whatever the dollar difference is between those two inches, those two models of TV.
According to Amazon, they say that they called this guy a few times.
All right,
and they weren't able to talk to him. They didn't get in touch with him. Several days before his arrest, police got involved. Before he got arrested, they tried questioning him. He said he answered the questions, which ones he could. And then when they started asking more questions, he asked, do I need to hire an attorney? And the police said, well, no, we're just asking you questions. Then they came back a couple of days later and arrested him.
Yeah, he fell for that. He's in the wrong.
He is in the wrong.
Well, based on everything you've told me. Based on everything you have told me, and I don't have the story in front of me, yes, they're trying to contact him. But still, I would imagine that they would just go ahead and slap on the difference.
The way I look at it, it was the company's mistake. They sent this to the guy, and now he gets arrested for it.
A company's mistake is, what was the original TV, 74?
Yeah.
And they send him a 70-inch and say, okay, well, sorry, we'll make up the difference. I would imagine we're talking about a couple of $100 difference.
However, 12 more inches on a flat screen TV.
Exactly.
Well, that's that. Well, thank you for listening to our show. We appreciate it. Have a great, safe weekend. Ginty is next. Ginty! We'll chat again Monday morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.